Good morning. Thank you, Jack. He told me he was gonna start a little early because he wanted to do a few minutes of rambling. He told me that when I was sitting right there. I said, "Well, I'd do about 40 minutes of rambling later on." So he said he took a few of those from me, so I'll have to go shorter. Right, exactly. But yeah, we're continuing our series of these I am statements that Jesus makes throughout the Gospel of John. And the reason the theme is going to be so similar between this week and next week is because it's in one passage, Jesus uses two different I am statements. And he does talk about the shepherd both times, but in today's, we're actually looking at I am the gate. I am the gate of the sheep. And next week, focusing on I am the good shepherd. But you can see how Jesus takes both of these statements and blends them together in our passage that we're going to read this morning. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 10. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. John 10, 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I tell you, the one who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is God's word for us this morning, straight from the mouth of Jesus. And I want to come back to verse 3 here, just as we're entering this worship time. We're gathered here today as God's sheep. And it says here, the sheep hear his voice when he calls them each out by name. So just showing up here, we want to have that in our minds that God knows your very name, and he has called you by name for the purpose that he has set for your life. And today is just one small part of that. Whatever God wants to say to us today, however he wants to shape us and build us, let's be open to his calling, for he knows our name. I'm going to lead us in prayer now, and the prayer will be coming from King David, be part of Psalm 28, if you would bow with me. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, do not refuse to hear me, for if you are silent to me, I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication as I cry to you for help. I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleadings. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. So I am helped, and my heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Be our shepherd and carry us forever. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this next. Tony showed me a video yesterday on his phone, and I really wasn't sure what I was looking at first. I'm not sure I can even describe it. It was men walking around individually on city streets, had like a backpack basket, each one of them had, and they had a long, looked like a stick at first. And they were picking up trash with it. I thought it was like huge chopsticks is what it looked like to me. Like with one hand, they reached down and grabbed the trash and throw it in the trash can. And they were doing all these moves while they were doing it. The video came from Japan. The name of it was Samurai Garbage Pickers. So I don't know. Maybe you can look it up. I don't know. And I was so busy watching what was happening that I didn't even read all the, I know there were words across the bottom of the screen too, probably describing what they're doing, what it's all about. But I was just staring at it, go, what is this? You know, I could see it fine. I had the image, but I didn't have the meaning. I didn't, what's the point of all this? By the way, I do think the point of that is that they were drawing attention to the litter in the city streets, and that's their way of, hey, everybody, let's look at the problem and we'll do what we can to make it better, I think was the meaning. But I really wasn't sure. Maybe you could go watch it and find out. But it's this idea of, I had the image, but I didn't get the meaning. The same thing happens in this conversation that Jesus has in John chapter 10. And we know that if you've got a red letter Bible, almost the whole passage is in red because Jesus, it's just direct speech from Jesus. But there's one verse that would be in black ink. It's a comment by John. And John only makes one comment in this whole passage, and it's in verse 6. Where he says, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They had the image, but they didn't have the meaning. After he showed me that video, Tony said, I bet you can't use that as your sermon introduction tomorrow. So... I'm probably not going to do that every week if you keep daring me with other random things, but I was thinking on the dare later, and I thought, you know what? It does fit after all. So so what we're going to do this morning is walk through what Jesus says. We're going to look at the image. What's the picture that he's painting? Because really, that's all he gives them. But then we want to look at what's the meaning? What's he really getting at? Why is he saying it to them? Why does it matter to us? Why would we listen to what Jesus is saying here? And so he starts in verse 1 and again in verse 7. He says, truly, truly, I tell you. The original word is amen, amen. It's his way of being... saying very solemnly, this is absolutely true. I need you to listen to it. So whenever he says, truly, truly, I say to you, it's time for our ears to perk up and see what is he saying, because That's his flag pointing to, this is important. And here's the image. He says, the one who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate, the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there's part of the image for us is to imagine this sheep gate. I looked up some, I should have probably put a picture up here. But basically a rock wall in a circle with one gap in it for the gate and the sheep inside that. He's saying, if you look at a sheep pen, and you see somebody crawling over the wall, you know, over the back, they're sneaking. You know that. They're sneaking around. They're trying not to be seen, and they're there to steal. Okay? And so he says, he's a thief and a robber. But if you see another man, and he walks right through the gate, right in, it's legitimate. He's the shepherd. And it's a very simple image. It's a very everyday image. If we saw it ourselves, we would already draw that inference too. Well, that person's sneaking around, but that person's going straight through the front. So one of them's illegitimate and one of them's legitimate as far as being the shepherd. So you can tell their identity based on their behavior. And so Jesus is saying, look at the behavior and it will tell you the identity. It's similar to what he says elsewhere when he says, you will know the kind of tree it is by the fruit that it bears. You know, see what the person's doing and you can infer their identity. So several things he says here that happens when the shepherd enters by the gate, goes to the front gate of the sheep pen. The gate is opened for him by the gatekeeper, so he's given access. The sheep hear his voice. He calls each of them by name and he leads them out. Now, as I thought on those four actions that happen, the gate is open, the sheep hear his voice, he calls them by name, and he leads them out. That all of them are images of intimacy and authority. You see the intimacy when, like I said at the beginning of the worship service, when the shepherd comes in and calls each sheep by name, he knows each one. We weren't just watching crazy videos yesterday. We were also talking about this passage. And, you know, Tony was talking about, he had read somewhere that in the sheep pen, there would be multiple people would keep their sheep in the same pen, possibly. So when the shepherd came and he knew which ones were his sheep and which ones were not. But it also says the intimacy goes both ways, because not only the shepherd knows them, but the sheep know the shepherd too. And they know his voice when he is speaking to them. The sheep hear his voice, it says, and he leads them out. So there's the intimacy, but also the authority. The authority of the gatekeeper opening the gate for him. You know, right this way, sir. He has authority, this shepherd. He's not sneaking around, going over the wall. And also, the sheep recognize his authority too by him leading them out and they follow him. So that's the image that Jesus is painting here of the thief and the shepherd and the sheep. Now, there could be multiple meanings, but let me take a stab at the meaning of what this image is. when Jesus talks about entering the sheep pen, that seems to be the main idea. How someone enters the sheep pen. And it got me thinking, other times Jesus talks about entering something. It's almost, at least in my mind, it's associated with entering. What does Jesus always talk about? Entering the kingdom. Entering the kingdom of God. Unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You know, all that sort of stuff. And to enter into the kingdom of God is to enter into a relationship with God where he's the king and I'm his subject. He's the ruler of the land and I'm a citizen. Okay. And so if we're looking at ourselves and how we follow after God, we relate to God, entering this sheepfold is about having the right posture before God. And there's two ways, it seems, that he's painting for us that you can follow God. One is an illegitimate way, and one's a legitimate way. Okay, the illegitimate way of following God is just, the behavior is like this thief. Trying to get away with something, hoping nobody notices, hiding, sneaking, stealing. And how much of our lives is that defines our relationship with God from the very first sin? What did Adam and Eve do as soon as they disobeyed God? They went and hid. They were now ashamed. Now there's the relationship between them and God is not like it was supposed to be. Something's gone wrong through their rebellion. And so that's a thieving type way to follow after God. I want to think especially about stealing. Okay. Now, I hope I'm not mixing the metaphor too much. Jesus mixes the metaphor when he's both the gate and the shepherd. So maybe it's okay for me to mix it a little bit too. But the thief coming in to steal a sheep, sometimes we're the sheep, sometimes we're the thief. I'm talking about. And that if God is the shepherd, Jesus is the shepherd, then he owns each one of us. And when we take ownership back from him and say, I'm going to decide for myself, I'm going to do things the way I want to do it, I'll be my own God. It's not just rebellion, it's theft. You are stealing God's property by taking your life into your own hands. Because your life belongs to God. You've been bought with a price. We sang that in one of those songs that Jack led this morning. It said, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Now, this is, I've been talking about the illegitimate way to follow after God. So then the legitimate way to follow after God, walk right in the front door. Show yourself for who you really are. Being authentic, you know, realizing the acceptance that God has for you, no matter who you are. And you start realizing, you're thinking about God and you're realizing, he's not somebody I want to rebel against. He's not somebody that I want to keep out of my life. He cares for me more than anyone else cares for me. He provides for me. You know, that's what all these shepherd songs we've been singing are about, provision and following after and trusting him. And so it's that intimacy leads to that authority. Again, the intimacy that God shows to us by knowing each one of us, by providing for us, by being our shepherd, we respond by saying, you have the authority. And now it's a life of submission and obedience and trust. And so I've summarized that with the word servanthood, because I think the basic underlying idea to the image is God is the shepherd, we are the sheep. God is the master, I am the servant. That's something Bob Writing says all the time, right? You know, it's part of the way he thinks, and he'll comment on in Bible studies and things. God's the master. I'm just a servant. And I think that's important to remember here. Now, the image goes on a little further. In verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Okay, so there's more of the image now. We've seen the legitimacy of the shepherd versus the thief. We've seen that that the sheep are ones who listen to his voice. And so here we're told they know his voice. Not only they hear it, but they know it. And so the sheep are following after the shepherd who just calls out to them. And it reminds me of the movie Babe. I mean, that's an old movie, I know, but it's a story of a little pig who turns into a sheepdog, basically, and can herd all the sheep, but he doesn't do it by barking at them or nipping at them or anything like that. He befriends them, and he asks the sheep, please, would you just kindly go into the gate over there? Would you kindly do this and that? And when the people are watching, Babe's just sitting there doing nothing, but the sheep are doing exactly what he's asked them to do. The people didn't hear his voice, but the sheep heard his voice, right? In the same way, we don't always hear God's voice, but when we're tuned in, we do hear what he's saying. We hear his voice and we'll follow what he says. He doesn't have to force us to do it. He doesn't have to bite at us and bark at us. He just calls us to walk with him. When you know his voice, you'll do that. And so, again, I think the concept is about authority. The meaning of this image is about authority, because it said they will follow a shepherd, but they will not follow a stranger. They don't know that voice. So when a human comes around sheep and is calling them out, but that's not somebody I know. That's not somebody who takes care of me. That's not my owner. And so they wouldn't respond. Instead, they would panic and flee and try to save themselves. And so the true authority is hearing God's voice, whereas false authority is hearing the stranger's voice. Some sources of true authority would be Scripture. You know, you read the Scripture, you see what God has done in the past, throughout history, you see what God's purpose is in creating the universe, and then you can start to see what's his universe then for my little part in this big picture. What's his purpose for my life, and what does he call me to do? Part of that's going to come from studying Scripture and understanding what is God's voice. What does God say? And then when I hear something that's not lining up with what Scripture says, that's a stranger's voice to me. I know that it's misleading me. I know it's calling me to follow after that, but it's a temptation because it doesn't lead to my safety. It doesn't lead to my benefit. I also think, you know, God speaks through the church. God speaks through brothers and sisters encouraging one another, sharing life with each other. not just in formal settings like this, where it's a sermon or a Bible study, although that's part of it too, but just talking to each other in the aisles or in the hall or calling on the phone during the week, Zooming with each other, you know, being in contact with each other. God will speak through those relationships with brothers and sisters. So it's scripture, it's community, and also solitude in times of prayer. When you set aside some time to do nothing except listen and be there and say, God, speak. I'm not listening to anybody else. I'm just listening to you. If you choose to speak, I'm here to listen. If you choose not to speak, I'm still glad that I came to listen. But God does speak. God does guide you through prayer and through your conscience as you're making decisions. And he's showing you what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. And it's through the discernment of prayer that you can know God's true authority. So again, this is a life of submission, of obedience, of trust, whereas the stranger's voice is a false authority. And I believe, again, that false authority can come from outside and it can come from inside a person. It can be looking at these external authorities who are not God and not promoting God and not following after God, but calling us in some other direction. And Jesus talks about them in another place as tyrants. He says, you know that out in the world, those who rule over one another, they call them tyrants because of the way they go about leading other people. Barking and biting, and using their authority to really exploit other people and benefit themselves. And so that's a false authority from outside, but we ourselves can have that same attitude as a tyrant, but we become the tyrant for ourselves. And again, it goes back to earlier, rather than God being the king, I'm going to be the king. And I'm going to decide. And so the stranger's voice, you can hear it from other people, but you can also hear it within yourself. It's a stranger's voice. It's when basically you're fooling yourself, or you're lying to yourself, or you're trying to justify your behavior. And you know when you start getting into that pattern, I'm trying to follow my own will rather than God's. Because if I knew I was following God's will and doing the right thing, I wouldn't have to justify it in my mind. But it's that internal dialogue of self-justification. I'm going to do that. This is why it's right. This is why it's okay for me to do. Or that kind of thing. And you want to justify the wrong choice rather than the right choice. You see, you're trying to justify following the stranger's voice. That's the stranger's voice within you, calling you to do that. But when we hear a voice like that, we ought to recognize that's not a voice that has my benefit in mind. That's not the voice of God. And therefore, we flee from it. And so here I've summarized this with the word wisdom. It's the wisdom to know who is the true authority. Is it God or is it me? Who's the true authority? And I don't just know the right path. I don't just know that that's a fact, which any of us could say now, because I just said it, right? And so any of us could say, yes, in my mind, I agree God's the king. The difference is when we're actually living our life, is God the king? Do I just know his authority, or do I walk in his authority and let him actually guide my life? The last part of this passage, or actually between these two, is that one verse I quoted earlier where John explains Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. So far, all he's done is paint the image. He hasn't given any of the meaning. He hasn't. It's more like a parable in that sense. But he's going to continue with the imagery, but he's adding one thing here. I am. This is where the I am statement comes in. He says it twice in verse 7 and in verse 9. Truly, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay, so Jesus is now revealed. He's the subject of the story. Not only is he telling the story, which he told in the third person about some thief and some shepherd, and he says, I'm talking about myself. And by using that I am statement, which again he uses several times in this gospel, he's connecting himself to God, whose name is I am. I am who I am. And then he's revealing his identity to us by saying, I'm the gate. I'm the access point. And it's an access point to God. So, more of the image here is that the sheep, with the shepherd around, they have complete safety. It doesn't just say they can come in through the sheepfold through the gate. It says they come in and go out and find pasture. You know, it's not just a life of isolation. I'm going to hunker down just with my Christian brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to block out everything else. Well, that doesn't really work, right? And that's not even what we're called to do. There is a coming in. There is a time to gather, to listen for God. But there's a time to go out too. And he says, even as you go out, I'm still your shepherd, and I'm still with you. That's when we really need a shepherd, right? Sheep don't need a shepherd that much if they're in a pen. The shepherd comes to take them out of the pen and out into the world, but to guide them in the world and keep them safe. That's why he says here, the one who enters through me, if anyone enters into this relationship with God through me, they will be saved. They will be safe. They will be provided for with this pasture, and they'll have freedom to go in and out. And so here we've got Jesus as being both the shepherd and the gate. We'll talk more about him being the shepherd next week. But when he's doing both, when he's both the shepherd and the gate, I think it's saying Jesus has perfect access to God, and Jesus is our access to God, both. He has access to God, and he is access to God, and he gives that to us. How does he do it? He does it through love. It's through love. It comes back to this intimate relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. When Jesus was walking this earth, he lived based on love, agape love, which is a trusting love, a self-giving love. And he loved God like that first. And so he had this loving submission toward God, exactly what he's, as he's painting the picture, the legitimate person, the one who has true authority, this is how they're behaving. But not only does he have loving submission toward God, he offers a loving sacrifice for us. Because he doesn't want to be a shepherd with no sheep. He's calling sheep to be with him, to follow after him, and to have the life that he has purpose for them. He tells us that in the last verse, that Jesus has a purpose for you, for each one of his sheep. He's called you by name. He's got a purpose for you. What is it? He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. To have a full life. To have life that is filled with every blessing that God intends for you to have. Not meaning that anything material you can imagine, God's going to manifest it. That's not what the Bible calls blessings, usually. A blessing is a spiritual truth that's revealed to you by God. It's a blessing to know the truth. It's a blessing to follow after God. And this is the kind of relationship he wants with each one of us. And he said, it's not about control. It's not a power trip on Jesus's part. Instead, it's an act of love. I want you to follow after me because I know that you can't protect yourself, but I can. You can't guide yourself beside still waters, right? Or in paths of righteousness. You can't do that. God is the one who shepherds us in that way. And so again, we have this illegitimate authority of the thief compared with the legitimate authority of the shepherd. And when we're talking about love, and the shepherd is based on love, well, the thief is the opposite of love. The thief is all about taking for himself. And it doesn't matter who it hurts. Okay? It can hurt the sheep. It can hurt the owner of the sheep. You know, it doesn't matter. The thief is only interested in himself. So that's what he's saying. He's still tying this thief in with the earlier thief. Okay? The one who comes in illegitimately. He says, only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And so that's the image. But the legitimate authority of the shepherd is one of giving rather than taking. The thief takes, the thief exploits people and hurts people for his own gain. The shepherd gives of himself and blesses people and heals people for our gain, for our abundance. And the word that I use to summarize that is peace. I say peace specifically thinking of the Hebrew word shalom, which is a word you've probably heard before. Shalom meaning peace, usually translated peace. But what it really means is everything is right with the world. Everything's right between me and God. Everything's right between me and my other relationships. Not that everything's perfect, but it's how it should be within God's will. And so the peace that we're given by being sheep who follow the shepherd rather than a stranger, the peace that we're given is that I'm rescued from a taking life. And I'm provided with a giving life. Now, this is counterintuitive to us because we think if I'm going to have abundance, I'm going to have to take it for myself. If my life's going to be good, then I need to go out there and get it. And if it hurts other people, so be it. That's the way the thief thinks. That's the way the stranger thinks. But the shepherd, however, shows us that it's not about taking authority. It's not about taking power. It's about giving it. Giving it. We yield to God because he has the authority. And it shows in the way we give of ourselves for one another. Just as Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, take care of my lambs. If you've got a right relationship with God, you'll have a right relationship with his people. Because that love becomes this love. The love between me and God becomes the love between me and you. And that, I think, is what we're being rescued from. He says we're being saved. That's a life of sin. That's a life of death. That's a life of rebellion. And instead, he said, that's what the thief wants. What I came to do is give them abundant life. And that life comes through love. Agape love. So, to close here, I want to look at the image and the meaning. We've done that all the way through this passage. The image is Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the gate for the sheep. What's the meaning? I think the meaning is this, that agape love is the access point into abundant life. Agape love is the access point into abundant life. This is the gate. You know, I'm pointing to the cross here. Jesus on the cross shows us God's perfect love, his perfect submission. He's not taking anything, he's giving everything. And it kills him. And that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid that if I start living that way, it's going to kill me. Well, he didn't stay dead for long. And on the third day, he rose again. And that's what God actually calls us to do. He says, if you're going to trust me, it's going to take a risk. What are you risking? You're risking your own life. You're risking your control. You're risking going to the cross by following Jesus. He says, do you trust me? Because I'm the shepherd. I intimately know you. I intimately love you. I provide for you. I give you everything. I even gave my own son. Jesus says, I gave my own life for you. I've given you everything so that you now have access and legitimacy to come into the presence of God and to have that true relationship with him, the intimacy of sheep with the shepherd. Agape love is the access point to abundant life. And Jesus said, I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray together. Lord God, help us hear your voice. As you speak, we know you've spoken through your word in the Bible. We know you've spoken through your son, as Jesus teaches us in the Gospels. We know that you've spoken through him specifically in this passage and with this statement of being, I am the gate. God, help us to hear that voice, not just in passing, but to really heed what is being said, to really listen. And Father, as we listen to your voice, we know that what we hear is a voice of love, not condemnation. That's the voice of the enemy. We don't hear a voice of power, control, coercion, force. You don't do those things to us. You give us freedom. But you call, and you call each of us by name. And Father, this morning, we're gathered here to hear your voice. And we look at this message from Jesus, and we know it's a message for the whole world. We know it's a message for all time. But this morning, God, help us know it's a message for me personally. It's a message to me to understand how to get the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So, Father, help us to hear that voice. Help us to submit to your true authority rather than claiming our false authority. And Father, we walked through the door to get in here and to come into the presence of our brothers and sisters here, knowing that you're present with us too. But God, as we go out these doors today too, help us know that you're with us just as much. You're our shepherd out in the world, and help us to be your sheep. We trust you, we love you, and we follow you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's stand together and sing this last song.